Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q4 FY15 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Q4 and annual results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly and annual financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. For the standalone company, net sales in Q4 were rupees 173 crores versus rupees 138 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 25%. For Q4, operating EBITDA was at 56.9 crores. This is after adding back the CSR expense of rupees 3.38 crores. Operating EBITDA increased 33% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin in Q4 was 32.8% versus 30.9% in Q4 of last year. PAT, again adjusted for the CSR amount, was at 56.4 crores, up 68%. Operating PAT was at 34.7 crores, up 42% year-on-year. Operating PAT margin was at 20% versus 18% in the same quarter of last year. Other income in Q4 was 26.9 crores, up from 11.2 crores last year. There is an exceptional item of rupees 29 crores, being an income of rupees 34 crores on transfer of shares of an investee company to our subsidiary, adjusted for a provision of rupees 6 crores, being the advance given for a building in earlier years. Deferred sales revenue has increased to rupees 175 crores as of 31st March 2015 versus rupees 143 crores as of 31st December 2014, mainly led by an increase in collections in Naukri. Moving on to the financial highlights of the financial year 2014-15 full year, net sales for the 12-month period ended 31st March 2015 were rupees 611 crores versus rupees 506 crores in the same period last year, an increase of 21%. For the 12-month period, operating EBITDA was at 182.7 crores, excluding the CSR amount of rupees 3.38 crores, which was up 11% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 29.8% versus 32.5% last year. PAT was at 168 crores, up 28%. Operating PAT was at 109 crores, which was up 14%. Operating PAT margin was at 17.9% versus 19% last year. The board has recommended a final dividend of 20% for FY14-15. This would take the dividend for the year to rupees 3 per share, including the interim of rupees 1 per share already paid. Moving on to the financials of the company at the consolidated level. Just to remind you, at the consolidated level, the main impact is from Zomato and Applect. Net sales were rupees 733 crores versus rupees 567 crores last financial year. The PAT for the consolidated entity is rupees 24 crores versus rupees 89 crores last year. The aggregate top line of the six investee companies in FY14-15 grew to rupees 330 crores versus rupees 190 crores last year, an increase of 74%, while the aggregate EBITDA level loss was rupees 233 crores versus rupees 116 crores last year, an increase of 100%. This also includes a non-cash ESOP charge of around 23 crores. These companies continue to pursue high growth, and the losses therefore are likely to be at high levels even going forward. Almost all of them continue to look for funds. Moving on to business-wise performance, please note that all business-wise numbers that are being given out are management estimates and are not audited. In Q4, recruitment top line grew 24.6% to rupees 125 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were at 54% versus 51.7% in Q4 of last year. In Naukri, the EBITDA margin was at 56.54%, up from 54.8% in Q4 of last year. For the full year, recruitment top line grew 19.6% and EBITDA margin was at 51.7% versus 50.5% last year. In Naukri, in Q4, we added an average of 10,400 new CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 41 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 133,000 per day. The Naukri JobSpeak index was at 1,609 in March 2015 and at 1,736 in April 2015. In Q4, we serviced 32,800 unique customers versus 29,000 in Q4 of last year. This number for full year 15 was 57,000 versus 51,000 for full year 2014. We are happy with the recovery we are seeing in Naukri India domestic corporate sales. Growth is now in the 20%, and this will hopefully improve if the economy continues to get better. Thanks to a recovery in IT, markets like Bangalore grew at over 30% last year. While we are still in the wait-and-watch mode, as the Indian economy accelerates, growth should pick up in the non-IT sectors as well. Thanks to our gain in traffic share at an all-time high of 71% in April, our successful transition to mobile, over 50% of our traffic is now on the phone, our growing customer base, and our new products like Career Site Manager and the referral hiring platform, for which we already have over 1,500 customers, and which are helping us tap into new revenue streams, the outlook for Naukri corporate business should be good for the next few years if the economy continues to get better. We continue to be bullish on our Naukri Gulf business as well. We have made reasonable gains in markets like Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Oman over the last couple of years. We've started experimenting with new offerings in the candidate services business, and if we invest aggressively in this business, this could result in a new revenue stream developing over the years. Quadrangle also had a very good year, and we expect to grow this business heavily with little investment in the future. Overall, margins should keep improving in the Naukri business if we can grow the business at more than 20% year on year. Moving on to the 99acres business, top line in Q4 grew 33% year on year to rupees 30 crores. Top line grew 32% for the full year to rupees 100 crores. In Q4, 99acres made an EBITDA level loss of rupees 8 crores, and in the full year, the EBITDA level loss was about 37 crores. This loss is on account of continued investment in sales team, service, product and technology, the cost of which is expensed out in every quarter. In paid listings in Q4 were at 6.6 lakhs versus 5.3 lakhs in Q4 of last year. Traffic from mobile in 99acres averaged about 35% in Q4, but as we speak today, it's more in the 43-44% range. The real estate market, as you know, is going through a lean patch. Demand for new homes, especially in markets like Noida, Gurgaon, Mumbai, and Hyderabad, continues to be weak. At the same time, competitive activity in the real estate portal market, is at an all-time high. Despite this, we were able to grow our real estate business last quarter by over 30%. Since then, of course, the competitive activity has intensified even further. We estimate that over 250 crores is currently being spent by real estate portals on marketing every quarter. As some of you may have noticed, we have also scaled up our marketing spend substantially this quarter. We expect losses to go up substantially in this business over the next few months. Having said so, we are well capitalized and continue to be super capital efficient compared to our other competitors in this space. The truth is that there is a big opportunity in this market in the long run. The leading real estate portals in most countries are larger than the leading job boards in these countries. We remain totally committed to this space and will continue to invest aggressively in sales, marketing, product, data quality, mobile, analytics and UI to improve the experience of both buyers and sellers on our platform. Jeevansathi net sales grew 8.8% in financial year 14-15. Jeevansathi touched about 39 crores in revenue. There was an EBITDA loss of 4.4 crores in full year 14-15 in Jeevansathi. Traffic on Jeevansathi from mobile on Jeevansathi has increased substantially and is now at 65% levels. In Shiksha, net sales grew 23% and reached 27 crores, and we lost about 4.9 crores at the EBITDA level last year. As you know, we have consciously scaled down our investment in the Jeevansathi business over the last 2 years. In fact, we lost only 4 crores in Jeevansathi at the EBITDA level. We have made reasonable progress on mobile and Jeevansathi in the last few months. About 65% of our traffic is now on the phone. The Jeevansathi mobile app is probably the best in the category. We are planning to experiment with a few marketing ideas in Jeevansathi over the next few months. Losses may go up in the short term as a result. As a result of these experiments, if we hit upon a new and more efficient business model to grow our business faster in Jeevansathi, we may up our investment significantly in the business. We will keep you posted on the developments on this front. In Shiksha, we continue to work hard on the product. We feel that we still have some way to go on this front. Over the last 12 months, we made substantial gains in our content quality and SEO. This year, we plan to focus mostly on UGC, student tools, and the mobile app. Our user base and engagement continue to grow at a healthy rate. We don't expect to lose a lot of money in this business and continue to be a leader in this market. Our investee companies, like I mentioned, continue to witness growth. During Q4, we invested about 184 crores in Zomato, and thereafter, another about rupees 152 crores in April 2015 to maintain our stake at 50%. During the financial year 14-15, we invested a total of about 200 crores in our existing portfolio of investee companies. We have put out the full year top line and operating EBITDA numbers for our subsidiaries, Merit Nation and Zomato, and for the rest of the investing companies as well. This data is available on our website, infoedge.in. Additional funding by existing investing companies would be required from time to time, and we will evaluate each on its own merit. We will continue to evaluate new investment opportunities as well. So that's all from us today. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much for being on the call.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is on the line of Ashwara K. from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Hitesh. I just wanted to get your comments on the strong performance we've seen both on Naukri in terms of for this quarter or from deferred sales point of view. How would you characterize the growth? Would it be more that you've seen a lot more activity with the traditional IT services or technology-related areas and you've been able to extract better pricing at some level, or is it just that you've seen across the board bounce back, which has led to such a strong booking this quarter?
Well, a combination of two or three things. One is, of course, our traffic share has gone up, and this basically helps us extract better pricing from our customers. Two, of course, like I mentioned, our IT markets like Bangalore did very well. In fact, Bangalore grew at over 30%, so we saw an improvement in IT hiring. The other markets did well, but not so as well as the Bangalore market. And thirdly, you know, we've got a few new products out there which are getting a good response. They're still very small, but cumulatively they add up to about maybe a couple of percentage points for our growth.
Okay. So second bit is on the 99acres. As you mentioned, there's a lot of competitive activity. If you had to just step back and look at the year gone by as to what do you think would be the pluses and minuses for you on the year gone by? Would it most of it gone as per plan, some surprise, both positive and negative? Just a perspective would be very helpful.
So you know, like I mentioned on the call, the real estate market continues to be sluggish. So, you know, as things stand today, maybe transactions in real estate are down compared to last year. And last year was not a good year at all. So compared to the peak, maybe activity in the real estate market is down 40-50%, if not more, across the country. Having said so, you know, we see an opportunity in this space. Like I mentioned, real estate companies spend a lot of money on advertising, and a lot of this money has to move online over a period of time. And therefore, if we continue to be a leader in this market, we will extract a lot of this. We will get a lot of this spend. We made good progress during the year on our product. We have a very a new sort of website. We've invested substantially in product development, in user experience, in analytics, in improving the data quality on our site, in operations. And this is now showing. The user experience on the site has improved phenomenally over the last few months. We continue to invest aggressively in our sales effort. We are now investing aggressively in branding as well and marketing as well. We now believe that we have almost all the building blocks in place. We just launched a new version of the Android app that has been received very well in the market. So you know, on the whole, as far as execution is concerned, we are doing a good job. But yes, the market has been slow, and that's a disappointment. Hopefully, you know, as the economy improves and as the job market also picks up and as interest rates go down, the real estate market will start responding as well.
Sure. Just continuing on the 19 acres piece, the way you're building the business, what would be a primary focus? Would it be the new market, which would be the primary focus in terms of the various real estate players and ads of them is what you would build your product towards, or would it be at simultaneously you would be looking at engaging with even the resale, the transaction on the rent side? What would be the focuses on the way you are building the product mainly?
So we are in all these segments. So we have a new homes platform which helps people showcase, builders and developers showcase new homes. We have a resale and rental platform as well. We don't do transactions, but you know, we operate in all these segments, and we operate in almost every city. So we are right now taking the view that you know, you need to be actually in all the segments to do a good job of servicing the real estate market. In a good year, you know, the new home, if there are lots of launches, the new home segment will do well. In a not so good year, people shift towards ready to move in apartments, and if interest rates are high, then often they move towards rental. But the same consumer may come back and buy, you know, a house tomorrow. So I think it makes sense to be in all the categories. The brokers we work with, the dealers we work with, you know, all of them do new homes, all of them do rentals, all of them do resale as well. So we get all the listings when we reach them. I think it makes sense in the Indian market to be in all the segments, and that is the strategy we are pursuing.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Omkar Hadkar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, so this is Sandeep from Edelweiss. Congratulations on this decent set of numbers, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to ask a question. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One, when you made a comment that, you know, we will be one of the best cash management company on this front, what do you precisely mean? If you see this industry is still at a nascent stage, and there will be a huge amount of cash burn which will happen. So when you make this statement, you are making a relative statement to your competitors, or you are hinting something else? Because in my view, this kind of businesses can burn cash for a very, very long time. And probably in spite of you doing extremely good in the stable ones, this business can still drain a lot of money from the overall business. So can you please clarify that?
Yeah, so what I said is that we have so far been more capital efficient than our competitors in the real estate market. The total investment in our real estate business till date is about less than, you know, $15 million, while some of the companies we are competing with have, you know, till date burned, many of them have burned $70, $80, $90 million as well. So our strategy, of course, is to grow our business, and we will keep investing aggressively, but we'll be as capital efficient as possible in this environment.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Firstly, on the consolidated financials, I see this entry of, you know, share of minority interest in loss of subsidiary companies, and then there's an excess of minority interest. Could you explain those two entries a bit? And is the excess mainly on account of Zomato, or is it Applect?
So basically, this is 37 crores which has been built in. So this pertains to the minority interest, otherwise which should have been passed on to minority holders of Applect. But there's a requirement in the accounting standards which required us to take that as a non-cash item. So once it is exhibited that they would be capitalized enough to take this kind of loss, this will get transferred back to them in the years to come.
But
we had a similar situation about 3 years back as well, which got converted.
Sorry, but what is the net worth of Zomato right now? Because you've raised quite a bit of money.
This is not Zomato, right?
Yeah, this I'm talking about, this 37 crore charge which is showing up in the results is for Applect.
Okay, understood.
So you know, there's an accounting standard which says that, you know, if there are shareholders who are in the minority, but they do not have a personal net worth to be able to make good their share of the losses, then the majority shareholder has to assume those losses.
Right, but this
happens. It is merely an accounting entry and it's not actually a financial transaction.
Sure, but this happens only if the net worth is not high enough, right, of the company itself, which should not be the case with Zomato, is what
this
I'm saying.
This is not Zomato.
This is not Zomato. This is Merit
Nation.
And Merit Nation is because the net worth of the company is not high enough. That
is correct.
Yeah, okay. And secondly, I know you gave the deferred sales number before, but could you just repeat that?
175 crores. Correct.
175 crores. And also...
March 2015.
Okay. And again, I mean, just to repeat a previous question, was there any price hike that you took for Naukri or 99acres in this quarter that became applicable in
this quarter? No.
In the last quarter?
You know, but our collection growth was helped by the fact, you know, that the service tax rates are expected to go up from the 1st of June. So normally when you sort of have this happening, then collections get preponed to an extent.
But collections should not reflect in revenues, right? That should only...
No, they don't. Part of the revenue, part of the collections are recognized in that quarter. But mostly they get deferred if they're collected towards the end of the quarter.
Correct. Naukri JobSpeak Index has perceptibly slowed down on a year-on-year growth basis in the last few months. So that seemed to have... I mean, there seems to be no correlation at all. I mean, I'm just trying to understand that.
Well, the figure for April, like I mentioned, is 1745.
Right, but if I look at, you know, January, February, March, April, all of them YOY growth were in single digits. And that has slowed down from what it was for most of the first 9 months of the fiscal year.
Yeah, see, you must remember that what happens is that in the Naukri JobSpeak Index, is an index of listings, not an index of jobs. So a lot of the jobs on the site often one listing could result in multiple jobs, right? So in a good market, what tends to happen is that if somebody wants to hire Java developers, they may put up one listing, but they may want to hire 10 people against that listing. While in a bad market, the number may be just 5 or 2 or 3. So it's an index of job listings, but not of the number of vacancies out there.
Right.
So it's a proxy, but you know it can't be interpreted to be that this is what the market is growing at.
Right. And sorry, I mean, just to, come back to that question on pricing, how much has your price moved up? Why in FY15 on average as compared to FY14? Is it possible to give an indicative sort of increase in real price that you've taken on a full year
basis?
Actually,
we don't really track it that way, but, you know, like I said, we our revenue is up 20% year on year, and our customer base is up from 51,000 to 57,000. So the average sale per customer has gone up, but I don't know what the breakup between pricing and volume is.
Okay. And that average, would there have been some sort of upgrade in some of the customers?
There'll be upgrades as well.
If you could give some color on the strong growth that we saw this quarter and how sustainable it is going forward.
So there are upgrades. There are in sometimes we don't take a price hike, but discounts will go down, so realized prices will go up as well.
Okay.
While we may not take a price hike.
Okay. And going forward, would you expect 20% plus growth in the recruitment business? I mean, is there any sort of guidance that you're giving or any sort of indication how the market is currently?
So, you know, if the economy continues to do well and if the IT companies continue to hire like they hired last year, then this year should also be okay. But we are still waiting and watching. I mean, we can't confirm that this is what is going to happen. But so far, the news from the market and what we get to hear from our sales team is that the market continues to be like it was, 6 months ago or 3 months ago. There's no perceptible improvement, nor is there any decline in hiring.
Right. And lastly, on Zomato, so obviously it is in a investment phase and, there is no way to sort of predict what sort of losses it will make, right? It's just going to be higher losses as revenue grows.
Well, in all likelihood, yes. It's at a stage where, you know, we can't really predict, we have some predictability of top line, but not enough of bottom line simply because, investments can be lumpy, they can be unexpected, they can be higher than, than expected, opportunities arise. But yes, in general, you're right. Losses will go up before they go down.
And what is the revenue growth guidance for Zomato for next year? Because I remember last year you had indicated a sort of 3x kind of growth.
Yeah, so we haven't got a guidance, at least not for now.
We're still figuring it out. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Sharma from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. So the first is, you know, on your 99 acres. So we have this housing.com, you know, backed by SoftBank, and they seem to have some kind of acquisition-driven strategies, and they're getting into total solutions, which I understand. So Snapdeal, you know, a similar SoftBank investment has made a lot of acquisitions in the last 6 months, trying to integrate mobile platforms, ad platforms, delivery. So I'm trying to understand, you know, does this recall for a change in business model? Because the kind of money which is pouring into the real estate business with the online companies, they could this phase could be a big phase of 5 years instead of 2 years. So what is, you know, your approach towards it? And second, are we you know, doing something about these low end jobs which e-commerce is producing, like, you know, the delivery boys and other low end categories where there may be no requirement of CV, but it's and, you know, I have seen some other portals coming up like babajobs.com and others. So how are you approaching that segment, because it's growing at double digits?
Yeah, to answer your first question, like I said, you know, we are also aggressively investing in our real estate business, and we are doing what we think makes sense for our consumers and for our customers. We acquired a studio some time back called HomePick. We are integrating their offering onto our platform. If there are more acquisition opportunities going forward which we think make sense for our portal and for our customers, then we will sort of pursue those as well. To answer your second question on the low-end jobs market, see, we have so far focused on the organized sector in jobs. We sort of have, like I said, we have 57,000 corporate customers. It's not as if, we don't sort of get jobs from smaller businesses and small enterprises, and it's not as if we don't get the low-end jobs, but they are hard to monetize, and we continue to keep working on our offering so that it works for all kinds of jobs, but we are not aggressively pursuing that segment at the moment. We continue to sort of focus on the white-collar market, but we continue to sort of build our product so that we can get, we are able to service all types of jobs.
Thanks for that. Just one last question on Jeevansathi. You said you may do some kind of, you know, short-term marketing and investments will scale up in this business. So what is, you know, driving this need to invest in a business which you've not been really sure about long-term prospects? Why is this short-term marketing so exciting?
Why I said this is because we believe that we may be onto something, but we are not sure. So we have made a few changes to the product. Our mobile app is doing very well. If you look at our app mobile app rating on the App Store, it's the best in the business. Our mobile app traffic has been growing rapidly. We are not losing too much money. Total investment in Jeevansathi till date is less than $10 million. And we see an opportunity in the long run in this space. It's still sort of early days in India in for matrimony. I mean, internet penetration is still at 10% or 12% levels if you look at usage on a regular basis. We have a few thoughts. We have a few ideas which we think could help us reduce our cost of acquisition and improve our, conversion rates from free to paid. So we want to experiment. Now, this may result in a few extra crores being spent, but I think it's worth experimenting, and because if it works, we could hit upon something which we can then scale up aggressively in that business.
And just
how much money we're talking about, it's just
okay. And just one last question on Naukri again, the Career Plus and other things. So you said they're small things and may just help some percentage in growth, but they themselves can never be a big revenue stream in even 5 years. And how they help you in retention or, getting add-on revenues, like if you can help us understand. Because you must be collecting some kind of fixed fee for managing the career site for a company, isn't it?
Yeah. So the CSM product, Career Site Manager product, now has over 1,300 customers, which means that we power 1,300 career sections
of recruitment firms and companies across the country today. And this is, and all this has happened within like 15 months of launch. We generate some revenue, of course, and this is subscription revenue, so we get this every year, and this number will keep growing. So, you know, I don't know what this number will be in 5 years. It could be 5,000, it could be 3,000, it could be 10,000 customers. But more importantly, there is a strategic benefit as well, because one, if you power career sites for companies, their dependence on you increases. Two, you get to look at the jobs first. So a lot of companies maintain a career site, they put up the jobs on the career site, and, you know, we get to look at those jobs first. So this helps us. And three, you know, from there are other side benefits as well. You know, you get more SEO traffic as a result onto your platform. You get links from all these websites. So I think is the CSM a great product from a revenue standpoint, but it's also strategically important for the Naukri platform.
So Sanjeev here, I'll just add to that. You see, Naukri is before CSM. Naukri was a destination site, right? Now, conceivably tomorrow, if the CSM is sold into 10,000 organizations, right, then we Naukri as a hub, and it will have its tentacles in 10,000 corporate sites. So Naukri is now at the center of an ecosystem as opposed to just being a destination site. This, to our mind, will build a huge wall around the business, a moat around the business, and will increase switching costs and make us center of an ecosystem as opposed to being just one app.
So okay. It also, you know, like, and the other products like the regular hiring manager, etc., they help us, dig into sort of other revenue streams as well. So we're not just operating in the database and listing space. There is money being spent on referral hiring. There is money being spent on corporate career sites. We get a share of that as well. And these trends will only grow in the long term.
And will you be open to any big ticket investment in any new property going forward with the funds you have in your balance sheet, or it's assigned and restricted for 99 acres only? Whatever you raise, 750 crores, are they fungible? Like you can use them for something else if something comes up?
So Sanjeev here, the commitment we made when we raised the QIP is that this money is being raised for 99 acres. And yes, it may be fungible after 3 or 4 years if we find there's a surplus. But for the first few years, we're going to keep it for 99 acres. And usage will, of course, depend on requirements. Right?
Having said that, there is money in our balance sheet which is beyond the 750 crores. There is more money coming in every quarter. Right? So are we looking at new investments? Yes, we are. Do we have enough money for them? Yes, we do. Depending on the size of the investment.
That's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is on this line of Sandeep from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. That's a quarter. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on 99 acres. It's been about 3 quarters since you raised amount to the QIP. I thought it would be helpful if you can kind of share the plans of how aggressively you want to spend in each of those identified areas. And I'm speaking of product enhancement, marketing, and acquisitions. If you could just give us a bit of a clarity on where this QIP money will be utilized.
So, you know, we haven't sort of said that this is what we're going to spend on, you know, each of these areas, because that will often depend on competitive activity and, you know, what our teams are able to come up with but the opportunities available for acquisition. But like we've been saying, you know, broadly there are 7 or 8 areas in which we're investing. Sales, of course, we already have a large sales team on the ground, and we continue to sort of expand that. Branding and marketing, like I said, you know, over 250 crores were spent by, if you go by, estimates of Punjab, and if you look at media spends, over 250 crores were spent by portals in advertising, has been spent in the last 3 months. So you know, of course, so marketing will be a substantial part of our spend as well. Then, of course, product development. We made significant strides in our product, but we need to do a lot more. So we'll be spending substantially on this front. Mobile, like I said, is already more than 40% of our traffic. We will continue to invest aggressively on the mobile platform. Analytics, user experience, data quality is a big piece for us. We already have a team of 300 verifiers on the ground. This team will be scaled up. There's a lot of other stuff we're doing at the back end to sort of improve the user experience, to improve the data we have on our platform. So we'll continue to invest aggressively on operations and data quality as well. How much we will spend in each area, I can't sort of say right now. But these are the big areas of investment for us.
But, you know, if you were to just collapse all these areas into a couple of heads, it's essentially headcount and marketing. right? Whether it's product development or technology or you know, data verification, all of it is headcount. And then, of course, there's marketing. And, of course, along with headcount come all the associated costs of, you know, computers, software, office space, interiors, all of those things.
Right, right, yeah. I think that's very helpful. Thanks, Sanjeev. The second one I had was on Merit Nation. Seems to be a bit of a weak year where revenues were almost flat and kind of strange for a early stage company. Can you give us some clarity on what's happening over there?
So I think basically, yes, Merit Nation did face a plateau this year. Partly because they were sort of retooling the product and improving it, and in that and during that process, they sort of did not push on aggressively on sales, and they actually downsized the call center a bit. To some extent, you know, the company also, I think, made a strategic choice, which I think did not work out well, which was to actually try and conserve cash and try and break even by cutting down on some headcount. But sales did not sort of increase commensurately. The company has now gone back to sort of trying to go for growth, I think last 3-4 months have been pretty decent on growth, so it seems to be bouncing back.
Right, thanks. Just one final question on, I wanted a bit of clarification on the stake transfer from eTech Aces to the other company. What's the nature of it?
It is not a transfer from eTech. It is the eTech shares that Info Edge had. The 50% of the total stake that we have transferred to one of our wholly owned subsidiary company, which is Nexens Technologies, and we have done it at a value of 50 crores. So if you really see the last two rounds that we did for Zomato, we have done through our wholly owned subsidiary company. So we have kind of continued that with eTech as well, and we have done at a value which is kind of tax efficient for us. And we optimize on tax because we had certain carry forward losses, long-term losses, which we kind of set it off against this game. So we think that, you know, by having this kind of structure, we are creating a framework which gives us more flexibility to take more strategic option in future.
Okay. Thanks, Chintan. That's all from me. Have a good year ahead.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashwin Mehta from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks and congrats on good numbers. I had a question in terms of 99acres. How would your marketing headcount have changed, say, over the last year in 99acres?
By marketing, you mean sales or just...
Yeah, the sales and marketing headcount in 99acres.
Yeah, we know we don't give out the numbers for specific departments, but our total headcount in 99acres is now close to 1,600, 1,700 people.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of when you say that competition has been spending almost 250 odd crores over the last 3 months on marketing, we don't seem to have changed the amount that we spend on advertising and promotions, which seems to be constant for the last 3 quarters. So do you see that changing materially going forward?
Yes, we've upped our spend in this quarter. So in Q1 of this year, we are going to be spending a lot more than we spent in the last quarter.
Okay. And when you say the burn rates will go up materially in 99acres, does it mean that it could be multiples of what it is currently, or it's only incremental versus 37 odd crores burn that we had here?
Well, Q1, you will see a substantial sort of increase, but beyond that, it's hard for me to predict because a lot will also depend on competitive activity.
Okay, and just one data point in terms of what would be our traffic share in 99acres now and how would it have trended over the last 6 months or so?
See, if you go by ComScore and the way we measure traffic share, you know, we've been averaging in the 30 to 40% range for a while now. So when competitive activity increases, we go down, and when we increase our spending, we go up. But broadly, you know, we've been sort of at the 30, 35% mark. The average for last year would have been about maybe 33, 34, 35% in that range.
Okay. And just lastly, we've seen Snapdeal or housing get into transactions, or we've seen housing get into even service apartments. Do you have any plans in terms of extending beyond the resale, the new rentals, and what you're currently doing?
So we're already in the new homes business. We are already in resale. We're already in rental. We don't do transaction. We don't think real estate will be bought online ever. And we are not interested in the service apartments business.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks and congrats. Just quick question on the real estate market. It's been quite fluid with lots of changes. Does it still make sense to measure it on a comp score basis via traffic share given some of it is going mobile? What do you think is the best way to measure market share going forward, A? And B, do you see this potentially consolidating in the next couple of years?
You know, like I said, market shares, different people measure it differently, and it's very easy to, traffic shares, different people measure differently, and it's very easy to fudge traffic share. You can buy UVs at 1 rupee a click. You can buy, all kinds of things in the market. I think the best way to measure market share is to measure revenue market share. And our numbers are public, and I'm sure the other numbers can be obtained as well, maybe with a gap.
Second part was on consolidation. Do you see this consolidating in the next 2 years? Do you think it makes sense? Will you be participating in any such transactions?
Well, I don't know what is going to happen going forward. Like I said, we will continue to invest aggressively in our business. If there are acquisition opportunities, we will sort of look at them on a case-to-case basis.
Okay, fair enough. Just second question on Zomato, the money that was raised or invested this quarter, was it done at similar valuations as before?
So we are not allowed to reveal that number due to the agreement with other investors, but it was a marginally higher valuation.
Okay, thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Siddhankar from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The question is regarding the 99 acres. After a while, we saw a number of paid listings, growth for the Q4 on a year-on-year basis. How should we read that number?
See, I don't think you should read too much into that number. At times what could happen is that we may change our policy. So sometimes we keep listings for 2 months. Sometimes we may keep them for 3 months. If we decide to remove spam, if we decide to tighten control on the site and, on data quality, listings will go down in some quarters. So that's one indicator, but, I don't think too much should be read into it.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Srinivas Shishadri from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Well, I would like to ask is, you said that you will be doing new investments. So I would want to know on the Jeevansathi front, what is it that you all have, what is that is there in the pipeline or what is it that you all have planned?
No, in Jeevansathi, what I just said is that actually, we have actually, reduce our losses significantly in this business over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sort of hit upon one or two new things which we think are working out well for us. The mobile app is one example. So we want to experiment a little bit on the marketing front and spend maybe a few crores to see if we have cracked a new model which will help us acquire profiles cheaper. So it's a pilot we will do. We'll spend a couple of crores to figure out if there is something. If there's something which we have chanced upon which will help us lower the cost of profile acquisition and improve our conversion rate. Only if it works will we scale it up. Otherwise, we'll go back to working the way we were working.
Okay, understood. And sir, also could you help me with the segmental revenue for the quarter, Q4, because I had missed out on the starting.
You want Jeevansathi revenue or you want revenue for all the segments?
All the segments.
It's
all
there on the data sheet.
I'm sorry?
Oh. So we'll just tell you.
We'll just tell you. So net sales in Q4 were 173 crores in total.
Only for the for Naukri, 99 and Jeevansathi.
Yeah, I just said. So Naukri was, recruitment was 125 crores.
Yeah.
99 acres was 30 crores. Yeah.
And
Jeevansathi for the full year was 39 crores and Shiksha for the full year was 27 crores.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is, the general trade-off in terms of investing in Zomato versus real estate. I mean, at what level, do you take a call that, we are okay in diluting a stake in Zomato vis-a-vis, because I presume, you know, your investments in real estate are also increasing.
So, you know, we've kind of reached a situation where more than 60% of our entire portfolio is in Zomato. And also, you know, as the rounds get larger and larger, you know, to defend 50% gets harder and harder for us, because it almost, for example, if they do a $100 million round, which I'm not saying they're doing one, but whether they do one, we have to put in $100 million to defend 50%, which would essentially mean almost equal to our whole QIP. So basically, Zomato's success is fantastic. Only thing is, it's possibly getting too big for our balance sheet for us to keep on defending 50%. And we sort of reluctantly recognize the reality, but we're taking it as it comes. So as of now, we are above 50%. Let's see what happens going forward.
Okay, and Sanjay, are you open to, raising further money if needed to, let's say you are comfortable with the valuation, but you need a bit more money. So are you raising or open to raise more money from QIP if needed?
So that's not something we actually actively discussed. And, we may or may not be, but, we'll probably take it as it comes.
Okay, got it. My second question is, obviously the growth rate in Naukri is increasing, and hence the EBITDA margin. So, if we, let's say, take a 2-3 year view when the economy is good, how could we see the EBITDA margins for Naukri moving up?
So, what you've seen in the past is that, of course, good years also mean that, a cost go up, you have to give higher salary increases, payments go up, and so on. So my view is that if Naukri grows at more than 20% per annum, margin should improve.
Okay, and, it could go to as high as around 60% or 55-56% remains, looks reasonable.
Well, in the past, we have touched, I think, 58-59%.
Okay.
So if our traffic share continues to increase and if our new products are received well and the economy sort of also improves, I'm sure 60% is also doable.
Okay. And, can you help us with the sector mix? I presume IT is now turning to be a dominant sector, but how do sectors like a banking and infra look for a mix of Naukri?
So IT is about 25%, just IT standalone, and recruitment firms are also 25%. Recruitment firms also, of course, hire for IT companies. And then the infrastructure sectors put together, and when we say infrastructure, we actually mean construction, real estate, power, oil and gas, engineering, all these sectors put together are also about 20-23%. And just 1 second, sorry. So infra is about 17-18%.
IT is actually 27-18%.
And all the other services put together are about 20-22%, and then we have a small amount, some coming from manufacturing as well.
Okay. And, my last question is, how do you look at, making further future investments into certain new companies? Now, suddenly India has become a destination hotspot where, you're seeing a lot of money being pumped into. So obviously valuations are moving high. So how do you look at it? Are there any investments at reasonable valuations, or you're comfortable investing into your current investee companies as against looking for new opportunities?
So, this is obviously will depend on 3 or 4 things. One is, of course, the size of our balance sheet and our, therefore, funds availability, right? And when you're competing against people who've got billions of dollars to invest, you really have to be very, very selective about, whom you invest and what you invest behind. Secondly, you've got to recognize that, a 5 to 10 crore investment today, if the company begins to succeed or begins to show progress and you do the second round or the third round, could balloon into a 100, 200, 300 crore investment if the company does well. So do you mustn't seed so many that you can't support them going forward should some of them begin to work, right? So it's a bit of a tightrope walk there. Thirdly is, the current companies in your portfolio also require money. Right? Going forward. Now, do you want to participate, not participate? Will you be required to participate by the incoming investor? Do you have enough powder for that? And fourthly, I think over the years, we've by now seen about 400 entrepreneurs and business plans. I think we have a pretty good sense of, what will work and what will not work. And I would say today we are much better at choosing companies to invest behind than we were maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And so for that reason, we also become more selective.
Got it. This is very clear, Sanjeev. Thanks a lot and all the best for future.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prince Podar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Three questions from my side. First of all, coming back to the revenue growth during this quarter, or basically out of 20% roughly growth, we can see the volume growth in a way volume growth has been around 10%. So coming back again, I'm sorry if I'm repetitive, but what does this 10% pricing growth comprise of? Just an indicative number would be fine.
10% is not just pricing, but often you have companies upgrading as well. So somebody who bought a job listing solution last year may buy a job listings plus database access this year. Somebody who bought for 3 months last year may buy for 12 months this year.
Okay.
So it's while some of it is new customer addition, like you mentioned, the remaining is better realizations and also upgrades.
So how have the realizations moved? I mean, leaving upgrades behind, how have the realizations moved? Have you been able to take a realization hike, so-called, during the year?
So it's, we don't actually look at things that way. It's very hard to say because, often a lot of these things are sold as packages.
Right.
But normally what tends to happen is that in a good year, you give lower discounts and you're able to take a price hike, while in a bad year, discounts go up. So even if you don't change prices, your realized prices change, depending on whether the market is hot or not. Our sense is that in a good market, if the economy continues to improve, we should be able to get better realizations for the same product. And then, of course, you have upgrades as well.
So, just continue.
And then, of course, we also have some new products which we are selling in the market.
So, just continuing on that question, sir, in the past, how has your experience been? If you even take a price hike, does it impact the volumes you're generating, the kind of paid customers? Does it impact at all?
So normally, the price hike is modest, it takes some time for it to sort of trickle down. And it's unlikely that a modest price hike will result in us losing customers in a good market. But if the market is not good, then, you may take a price hike, but you may lose the gains in the negotiation because companies will negotiate hard and they have time to negotiate.
Okay, so my second question is regarding the CSM. Firstly, about that, within the 1,300 customers you have, how much, what would be the rough, or very rough proportion of large corporates if you have been able to break through in large corporates?
So we don't give the breakup, but, CSM, I think, is targeted more at the mid-sized corporates who can't afford expensive solutions. Large companies, very, very large companies, MNCs especially, they often have global software which they use everywhere in the world. So it's hard to penetrate them. But mid-sized companies often don't have anything. And that's the segment we're really after.
Okay. And sir, what was the number at the end of Q3 FY15, which is at 1,300 right now?
I don't recall it offhand, but Q4 is normally a good quarter, so we must have added at least 300-400 customers in the last quarter.
Okay. And sir, my last question is regarding investments in 99acres. Do you have any rough estimate of what kind of investment would be going into the application part of it, rather than the marketing and headcount and sales and everything?
By application, you mean product?
Yeah, the app.
The mobile app.
The mobile app or any other basically technology related stuff.
Technology product related, right? So we have like I said, we have about 1,800 people, 1,700 people in 99acres.
Right.
A large number of these work on the product, so it's very difficult. We don't really give out the exact breakup. But you can assume that over time, we'll have at least 10 to 15% of our workforce working on the product in 99acres over time.
Okay, that's very helpful. Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted one clarification. There is a service tax increase which has come in from 1st June. So did you, recalling just what happened a few years back, did you have a similar situation of a little bit of advance booking by customers who are trying to exhaust recruitment budgets this year because of the increase? And B, are you looking to also kind of adjust for your pricing or whatever the net billing to the customer based on the service tax increase.
So to answer your second question, you know, the service tax increase will be passed on to the customer, and this is what we've done every time. Yes, you know, you're right. Last time when we had a service tax increase from 1st April, we were, you know, able to collect a lot more in the month of March. This time, of course, the increase is with effect from 1st June, but I'm sure there was some impact on our collections. Our collections actually grew much more than 25% in Q4. So I'm sure there was an impact on them. And therefore, collection growth in Q1 may be lower than in Q4.
Okay, fine. And the second question is relating to 99 acres. Pardon me if this has been already asked. Can you throw some light on what kind of a share is shown by Comscore over the last 2-3 months for you and some of the other peers like Magic Bricks Housing, etc.?
So as per our calculation, in the month of April, we were at about 31%. Magic Bricks was about 28-29%. Common Floor was about 10%, and Housing was at about 15%. But remember, this was a month where competition was very, very aggressive in media. Since then, their media spends have declined, while ours have gone up. So, but like I said, you know, a lot depends on competitive activity in a month. We should not really look at traffic shares in 99 acres over a month or two. We should look at what happened over a year because traffic shares go up and down in a nascent market by as much as 5-7% points very easily depending on who's advertising and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my final question again on 99 acres is that what are the specific areas where you feel we have to catch up on product development, because this is something which was an issue about a year and a half back. Or do you think we are already good in terms of competitive tracking, in terms of the kind of offerings which are there, value-added services, etc., which are there for
So if you look at product as number of features and functionalities, then I'm sure you know, we'll have maybe 20 features which others don't have, and they will have 50 which we don't have. But if you look at the product as from the point of view what is relevant to the consumer, I think we have a very good offering. We have the most listings, our data quality is pretty high, our search works very well, we have the most number of projects on our site, we have the largest number of under construction projects, we have enough information on societies, we have the most customers, we have you know, the most number of owner listings. So you know, if you look at product from that sort of prism, then I don't think we have to catch up with anybody. I think others have to catch up with us. But if you look at product as, you know, whether do you have a map search or do you have this, do you have that, whether that is relevant or not, then of course everybody has to catch up with everybody else, yeah, because there are some features which we don't have, which we have and others don't, and there are some which others have which we don't.
But, you know, product improvement, innovation, engineering, this is an ongoing thing. It never ends. There's always new ideas, and the pipeline is always full. And you always, you know, are scrambling and, you know, running behind time because you have an urgency to do stuff.
Fair enough. So at this point of time, basically, the sales and marketing would be the main focus rather than, I mean, in terms of bridging or trying to push on the competitive advantage.
So, you know, marketing, like I said, you know, actually varies from quarter to quarter, and it a lot depends on what competition is doing. Sales, we already think we are doing a good job. So we have a strong sales system. We, you know, have a large sales force. We have the most number of customers. Product, like Sanjeev mentioned, you know, while we believe that we have a good product offering, there is always scope for improvement, and there are always sort of things which we would want to do, and we would want to do them tomorrow, but you know, things take time to get done. So we will. We, you know, there's a team of people out there who are only thinking product, and their job is to improve the product every day. We just launched a new version of the Android app, and we are very happy with the quality of the app. So we will keep working. There are, as I speak, there are over 200 ideas, but we will be able to implement only 20 of them in the next 3 or 4 months. So that's continuous improvement, but I don't think we have any catch-up to do out there.
Okay. Fair enough. Great. And if I can squeeze the last one on Merit Nation, the growth has been a little sluggish this year. So just wanted to understand in terms of operationally what were the issues in terms of scale up and how is that being
addressed? Yeah, so I had sort of covered that in the earlier answer.
Okay.
So basically they had product sort of improvement issues to be sort of tackled, which they have done, you know, and they continue to do further. UI issues, you know, they're now also investing in analytics competency. But during this period, they sort of scaled back the call center, and, you know, that resulted in lower growth. Last 3-4 months, growth has come back. So hopefully, you know, this year will be better.
All right. Great. Thanks, and wish you all the best for next year.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.